Father has told him he's going to go on to tell his disciples, and that means you too. He tells them that they're going to go and that they're going to produce much fruit in their life, that their lives are going to be fruitful and that they're going to be purposeful. As the chapters go on, Jesus tells them that he's overcome the world. He says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. For in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." You don't need to be afraid, he tells them. You don't need to be afraid. After this point, Jesus shifts a little bit. And he begins talking not so much to the disciples as he does to his Father. And he begins to pray for his disciples. He commends the disciples to his Father, saying, "Listen, Father, you gave me these ones, and I have loved them, and they have loved me. Thank you, Lord, for them. I commend them to you. They're wonderful. I've been so privileged to live my life with these people for these 3 years on the earth." He says, "Father, will you protect them? Will you keep your hand on them? Will you keep them from the power of the evil one? Don't let the evil one hurt them. Don't let him destroy them." And then later that evening, we find Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus here continues to pray for his disciples. Why? Because he knows what's around the corner. He knows what they're going to be facing. He knows that they're going to be going through terrible times. But Jesus is able now to come to the cross knowing that he's loved these disciples and that he has helped them, that he has served them. He knew what he came to do. Jesus was able to face death without fear because he had finished the work that the Father had given to him. In John 17:4, he says that. He speaks to the Father and says, "Father, I have finished the work that you have given me to do." He'd come to serve humanity that he loved, not himself. Oh, what a Savior we have. Can we worship him right now?
See you.
Ever watched a movie where the whole point of the movie is a person or an animal trying to make their way home? You can make a whole movie out of someone trying to make it home. And what is it that stirs us about that? Well, it stirs us because there is a passion in the heart of that person or in that animal to make their way to the place that they call home, the place where they find comfort, the place that is special to them. And this is the second thing that we find in our passage of John chapter 13, is that Jesus has a knowledge of where he's going once he dies. In that passage, there are a couple places, again in John 13, 1 through 5. In one place, it says he knows that his hour had come and that he should depart from the world to the Father. And then in another section, it says that he knew that he had come from God and was going to God. So where was Jesus headed? He was headed to be with his Father. Why, this was fantastic knowledge for Jesus. He gets to go be with the Father that he loves. This is one of the reasons why he can face death without fear, because he knows where he's going and he knows who he's going to be with in a short amount of time. Now, haven't we been experiencing some of the same thing? This social isolation is for the birds. This quarantine that we have, what does it do? In our hearts, what it does is this make us long more and more to be able to touch, to be able to feel, to be able to give a little kiss to someone that we love, our grandchildren, our children, our friends, and our family. We want to be able to be there with them. In fact, think of the family occasion that you're at, and think of the person that you least want to see when you go to the family reunion. I bet you would want to see him now, because we've gotten where we really kind of miss people, don't we? Well, Jesus was missing his Father. Do you know that before Jesus came to earth, he had spent eternity at the right hand of the Father? Before he came to earth, before he took on flesh and became like us, he was at the right hand of the Father forever. So here he comes to earth. He's been here now 33 years. He's not been sitting in the same place that he was. Now make no mistake about it, he was still extremely close to his Father. Why do you think that Jesus went to pray so much? The scripture tells us that he withdrew often so that he could go and spend time to be with his Father. He loved him. He loved his Father. And the thought of being separated from him was something that grieved his heart. In fact, if there was anything, and there's probably only one thing that Jesus was dreading about this Good Friday, and that was he knew that the sin of the world was going to be placed upon him. And when it was, that communication and fellowship with his Father would be broken. And that's what he was dreading about what he was going to be facing. It wasn't so much the pain. It wasn't so much the flogging. It was the fact that he was going to be separated with his Father. So the knowledge that he was going to be with him again soon was something that excited Jesus. Jesus became like us so that we could be with him. Look what it says in Ephesians 5, 30 to 32. It says, "For we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." Jesus left his father for the time that he came to be on earth, and he was looking for that moment that he would be reunited with his father again. But aren't we glad that he took on flesh like we have so that he could die and give his life for us and give us new life? And that's what he did. After he pays the ultimate price, Jesus is going to go back to his Father. So what a comfort that was to him during this last week of his life on earth. So I want to ask you the question. Do you know where you're going when you die? Do you know who you're going to be with? Do you know, knowing and having the answer to that question makes all the difference in the world when it comes to being afraid of death or not being afraid of death. It makes a difference between being petrified and terrified or saying, "Okay, Lord, I'm coming to be with you." I know for myself, I'm not afraid of that time. I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus, to seeing the Father in heaven. And this is something that my heart looks forward to. Now, nobody's excited about thinking, what is the method that's going to get me there? I mean, no one wants to think about that. And that's the not fun part of the equation. But the truth of the matter is to step from this life into the next for the Christian who has confidence in what Jesus has done for them. Why, it's not an agony. It's not a point of terror. It's not a point of fear. And here's what Jesus said in John chapter 14. He spoke this very thing to his disciples that night. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. But then Thomas pipes up and he says, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. And how can we know the way?" And Jesus said very clearly, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." No one comes to the Father except through me. So how do we get to the Father? Well, Romans, it's not complicated. It's not a complicated process. The scripture tells us what it is that we need to know and what we need to believe in order to be able to be in heaven with the Father. Romans 3:23 tells us, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Every single person on this planet, we're all sin positive. We have all sinned, and we fall short of God's expectation. Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. So while it is that the wage for sin is death, and death is separation, God made a way. The gift of God is eternal life, and it comes through Jesus, his Son, which was provided for on this very day, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Romans 5:8 tells us this. In case you're wondering right now, does God love you? Does he want you? Well, Romans 5:8 tells us, yes, he does. But God demonstrates his love to us. And while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That verse is by design in the present tense, because it says, not God demonstrated his love to us in that while we were sinners, he died, but God demonstrates. He continues to demonstrate. The cross continues to demonstrate to you and to me that he loves us. He loves you. Romans 10, 9, and 10 tell us this, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. See, it's really very simple. Jesus has done all the work on the cross. He took your sin. He took mine. He paid for it so that you don't have to. Would you receive his gift of eternal life today? Would you be willing to do that? You hear, you sense the Holy Spirit tugging on your heart. He loves you, and he wants you today. We're going to pray in just a few moments, and I'd like to encourage you to pray with me. Pray with me. I'm going to lead us, and I'm going to invite you to pray after me. And really, God has made it so simple to receive the gift of eternal life. It's just as simple as saying, I will take that. I'll take what you did for me. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe he did die for my sins. I know I'm a sinner. How could I ever be right with God? I can be right with God because of Jesus. So right now, I want to encourage you. Would you pray after me? Dear Lord, I admit that I'm a sinner. I ask you now for your forgiveness. I repent of my sins and I turn from them. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord. I invite you, Jesus, to come into my life and to dwell inside of me. By the power of your Holy Spirit, I give my life today willingly to you. And today now becomes, for me, the very best Good Friday. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and you truly believed in your heart what Jesus Christ has done for you, welcome, brother, welcome, sister, to the family of God. You've got a huge family that extends all the way around this world. And do you know, according to Jesus' word, he's preparing a place for you right now that you are going to be able to be there, just like he was excited to go to the Father, and he was not afraid to face death. You don't have to be either, because you too are going to be going to your good, good Father. Thank you. Let's worship the Lord together, shall we? Thank you.
How fitting the message was for us this evening. Good Friday. It's good for those who just did what Ainsley led us into, inviting Christ into our lives as our Lord and Savior. And for you who just prayed that prayer, possibly for the first time, then this is going to be an excellent communion setting for you. I welcome all of you to participate, having communion with me right where you're at. I want to encourage you, if you have not already, please go ahead and receive your communion elements and get them stationed and ready to go. I want to just reflect on, naturally, in that very intimate setting around the table, while Jesus had his disciples there with him, he's been not only leading by example, but teaching that all the law and the prophets were speaking about this very situation. This would have been Passover. Every Jew understood the significance of the Passover meal, how that God liberated an entire peoples from bondage into liberty, into freedom. That's really what is all about with regards to Jesus giving his life on the cross. He is that Lamb of God. Scripture declared very clearly, the Lamb of God takes away the sins of the world. So that's why we look back now as believers, as Christians. We look back on this occasion, Good Friday, for those who believe it's a Good Friday. But I'm always so impressed and so proud of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Very courageous, very brave. He always knows what's going to happen next. Can you imagine? Here he is, though the disciples were told by Jesus what was about to happen months and weeks and days going into Jerusalem. He knew in this setting, just a few short hours, he's going to be arrested. He's going to face a mocked trial. He's going to be condemned to death, and he's going to die. He knows this ahead of time. It's an amazing thing that he goes ahead, and as I read from 1 Corinthians, talks about what he said and why he brought about these elements for us to enjoy and to remember. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 says, the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Well, on this Good Friday, that's what's so significant about even having the communion elements. We take the bread that we have selected, whether that is a piece of bread or a cracker, but it's reminding us that God came in human flesh. And he knew everything while he is describing these communion elements. The bread symbolizing his body, the cup he says, symbolizing his blood. And while he's describing this to his disciples, he knew what was next as well. He knew that Judas would betray him. He also knew that Simon Peter would deny him. He knew that all the disciples would become confused and run away. But yet, how courageous is our Lord? Because even though he knew these things, he still pursued what he knew was for our salvation, our redemption. So on this occasion, he knows where we need healing in our bodies. Would you go ahead and take your cup right now and lift that portion? Father, we want to thank you for the body of Jesus. And as we take hold of this, Lord, may your healing power move through our bodies. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and participate now. The cup as well. Jesus said, as often as you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. This symbolizes his shed blood for our removal of sins. And we're grateful. What I like about the Lord, not only did he know what was happening next in his own life, he always knows what's going to happen next. Not only is God wanting to now just wash and remove all of our sins by just that act of, once again, just committing, Lord, forgive, renew, especially you who are believers, followers of Christ for the long time. Lord, forgive me. Wash me clean in Jesus' name. What we enjoy about the Lord and how he knows everything is that he also knows the future. He knows the future that the disciples, though they were not aware of what was about to happen, Jesus knew their future would turn to hope, joy, peace. We're not sure what your future is, but the Lord does. And I would say to you, as the message came this evening, take courage. The Lord knows your future. He knows all things. He knows the outcome is good. In our destiny, as the Lord says, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He is not a deceiver. Isn't it wonderful we get to celebrate our life here on earth in Jesus and our eternal life that we have to experience together and in heaven with our host of friends and family who are believers, and with God Almighty who loves you so much. What a wonderful Good Friday it is. It's a happy day. It really is. For those of us who believe, we invite you once again, let's worship the Lord at this time, shall we?
Nothing but the blood.
Well, Ainsley, what a great message you brought. I'm sure appreciate it. And what a delightful time to have communion together with all of you. We so miss you, each and every one of you, and we're so honored that you joined us for this Good Friday service. We're thankful, too, because we're confident that your invitation to join us today either came by the Holy Spirit or a friend or a family said, hey, why don't you take a look at Hope Chapel's Good Friday service, and you gave the link. We're going to believe that was also the Lord leading you to join us this very evening. So I want to invite you, if you don't mind, let's enjoy what God's doing in your life together. We're going to invite you to go ahead. There is a fill out right below your screen there. It's called a prayer request. If you would send that to us and let us know that you prayed to receive the Lord this very evening or possibly during this week. Something said or something done caused your heart to say, Heavenly Father, I need you and I accept Jesus as my personal Savior. Or possibly you're on your journey and you've recommitted your life. Would you go ahead and fill that out, that prayer request, send that to us. We'll respond and say, I am now needing maybe resource material, discipleship, or even a Bible. Mm-hmm. We'll get that to you. We're excited with what God's doing. And for us as a church called Hope Chapel, if you're looking for a church, thank you for joining us online. We've been enjoying a journey of scripture memorization. And this week was Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, which says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will see to its completion till the day of Jesus Christ. So the Lord knows our future, doesn't he? Facing what he faced for us on the cross, we know that really the resurrection is just in a couple of days. We hope that you'll be back with us and enjoy Resurrection Sunday with us here at Hope Chapel at 9 and 11 a.m. in the morning. We're going to have a great experience. We welcome you. Please share the link with your friends. That link to follow live with us would be hopechapelhb.org/live. Once again, hopechapelhb.org/live. And if you're not receiving our information, our news information, or maybe some of our emails, if you don't are not receiving them, please feel free and sign up for those as well. That's simply just hopechapelhb.org/subscribe. So let's go ahead. Let's join together, maybe in a virtual way, as we stay at home, stay safe. But we're going to pray you off a blessing. What a wonderful evening it's been. Thank you so much. Here we go. Our very best blessings and God's grace to you. So now, Heavenly Father, may the Lord bless you and keep you, Almighty God, upon your people. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and be gracious to you. Lord, put your face, that smiling face of approval upon them. And Lord, bring them peace and prosperity, safety and security.
Yes,
for the glory of the Lord and for the prosperity of your people, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks for joining us.